I'd like to now invite Lou Middleton to come up and share her testimonial about commitment.
Hello.
Hey.
So this is my testimony about why I give. There is one simple reason that I give to Star King Unitarian Universalist Church. I am rich. I was not born into riches. In fact, quite the opposite. Being raised in the town of Calexico, a small agricultural town in Southern California, born to a migrant farm worker and a stay-at-home mother, my hometown had little diversity. The majority of my friends were Mexican and Catholic, with a father who worked in the field and a mother who stayed home to care for them. While I felt immensely loved by my family, I was not rich like I am today. I grew up, moved away to attend college, traveled, and worked. Life continued like that for quite a few years. Eventually, I found my dream career as a special education teacher. And I met my husband, and we started a family. And it was around that time that my riches began to appear. We began church shopping because we wanted our family to have a spiritual foundation. Church shopping was not an easy task. Mm-hmm. We came from very different religious backgrounds, and we are at different places in our spirituality. The one thing that we had in common in the area of religion was what we did not want. We went to several churches and they were all very nice, but none of them felt right for us. Then one Sunday we went to Mount Diablo Unitarian Universalist Church in Walnut Creek. I had never heard of Unitarian Universalism, but I liked it. We continued to attend this church for a couple years and we were happy. Then we moved to Castor Valley, and driving to Walnut Creek was a bit too far for us. After a quick Google search, we found that there was another UU church just a mile away from us. That was Star King. That was about 3 years ago. Star King has become part of my family in those 3 years, being a member. I was immediately drawn by the work this church does, by the energy, by the other members. I started to get involved because I had to, not because I was forced, but because I needed to be part of the change that this church was living. With each of these experiences, my life became richer. Working to help others in the community, being part of a diverse church family, seeing our children living out the church's principles, all of these things made me feel rich. I give to Star King Church because it has given so much to me, to my community, and to my family. Star King Church has brought richness into my life. Thank you.
A church is like a family. This is such a commonplace simile that we kind of automatically draw the comparison without thinking. Standard analogy is that you all as church members are sibs, brothers and sisters. The ministers are like parents. Former ministers, lay leaders, social justice activists, and theologians are family ancestors. Both family and church relationships are ideally tied together in love. Of course, we can overstretch the analogy. In Rodney Dangerfield's quip, where he asserted that he looked up his family tree and found three dogs using it. None of that here, of course. But if we deepen our reflections on church and family, we discover that ideas about proper family and the ideal church have shifted over time and place. Early Christianity is mirrored through the letters of Paul, sought to position Christ as the head of the church and the church as Christ's body. This rather hierarchical theology echoed the Greek and Roman family system with the male father, what was termed the pater familias, being the head of the family, while the wife, the children, and the slaves being subordinate underneath and obedient to him. Mediterranean culture at the time was viewed as a culture of shame. Don't bring shame upon the house of the father, obey him, and you'll be right with the father of the family, right with Christ, or right with God. This idea of a strict authoritarian father extends even to the present day in countries such as Italy. I remember 20 years ago or so when I was at a conference on personality in my other hat as a psychiatrist. The conference was in northern Italy near Lake Garda. At that time in the United States, everybody was studying and working with people with a diagnosis of borderline personality disorder. Now, borderline has been reflected in the media, such as Glenn Close's character in Fatal Attraction, which you've probably all seen, or most of you have seen, or more recently in Winona Ryder's character in Girl Interrupted. So borderlines have a lot of shifting moods and emotions and unstable relationships with others, including family members. We Americans had found from research that most people with a diagnosis of borderline personality disorder had a family history of sexual abuse in childhood or in teenage years, with the perpetrator being a member of the family or a close relative. When we presented these findings at the conference in Italy, our Italian colleagues were flabbergasted. Every one of them, all male, of course, protested vehemently. There were no cases of family sexual abuse in Italy. None whatsoever. It's never been found. No. Italian families were intact and structured and authoritarian, and these moral values would never permit sexual abuse. So we, American and Italian psychologists and psychiatrists, were like ships sailing by each other in the fog. We lived in two entirely different universes. Americans attributed borderline personality disorder to trauma, the Italians to character flaws. Now, how did we, as liberal religious people, shift from this authoritarian view of the family, church organization, and God's rule to a more nurturing and democratic concept of the spirit of life? When did we, Unitarian Universalists, slough off the father image of God and adopt a more nurturing mode of an ever-present and compassionate spirit dwelling among us? Is there any relationship between our image of God, the divine, or the spirit of humanity, and the way we treat and support each other right here, now, in our church? One answer to these questions is found in the readings from Theodore Parker that Darcy just recited. As many of you know, Theodore Parker was a big trunk in our family denominational tree. He lived in the first half of the 19th century and was renowned as a social justice minister who despised the treatment of African Americans during slavery in the South. Little known, however, is the fact that Parker introduced a new gender perspective on God and the divine. In Parker's Two Prayers, he hints that God is both an infinite mother and an infinite father. This duality doesn't come from the nature of God from a theological stance. Like today, we might worship God as a goddess or Gaia or the earth, but from the way God functioned for Parker in the world. God is the ideal parent embodying virtues from both gender roles at the time. Parker's God is a parent, both a mother and a father who's nurturing to her children. She's never vindictive or authoritarian in style. God's more akin to what we therapists call a good mother image. And this doesn't necessarily, as you heard from the story of Grace, not necessarily a biological mother, could be a father or parent or anyone who embodies this nurturing style in relating to children. So this good mother image protects and cares and soothes us and goes, as Parker hints, to the further reach of the universe to retrieve us when we're lost. God is not distant, but present. God is not tyrannical, but maternal. Among Transcendentalist families in New England in these early 1800s, the style of parenting really changed. Just read Louisa May Alcott's Little Women, which I'm sure a lot of folks have read, to get a sense of how radically different parenting had become. Even better, go to her house outside Concord. Outside, most everyone goes to Concord to see the Emerson house, but just half a mile down the street is Louisa May Alcott's home. And you see that her style that she was raised expressed these romantic and transcendentalist ideas about child rearing. You know, raise kids as free thinkers, independent of their biological gender. Train them to be explorers and fill them with rich experiences. So these ideas of raising kids influence us Unitarian Universalists today. So both ideas about God and parenting are fundamental to the way we do things, both in the way we do religious exploration and the way we encourage adult faith formation. Darcy has often said that Stark King Church should encourage experiential learning among our children. Rather than offering just didactic classes about our seven principles, we should be teaching the kids through sharing of experience and fostering an attitude of discovery among our children. Likewise, if God or the divine or the spirit of life is viewed through the lens of Parker, then adult religious education should be tailored and matched to the individuals who come to our church, whether she or he identifies as Buddhist, atheist, humanist, nature-based, or theist in theology. The Berkeley linguist, George Lakoff, in his book Moral Principles, Moral Politics, traces the two paradigms of child rearing, which he calls the strict authoritarian father versus the nurturant parent model, and traces it to the dichotomy we have in America between conservative versus liberal political views. The strict authoritarian father deems the world to be dangerous and competition and obedience to authority to be normative. Those who don't stand up to such standards are basically losers. On the other hand, the nurturing parent model instills a sense of compassion and empathy for all in the community and self-cultivation through self-nurturance. You got to be kind to yourself in order to be kind to others. So that duality, self-love and nurturing and compassion toward others, are key to the parenting model of liberal religious education. Now, as Lakoff suggests, morality is empathy and nurturance requires that one empathize with and be nurturant toward people with different values than one's own, including different moral values. This means that one cannot maintain a strict good-evil dichotomy. To be able to see the world through other people's values and truly empathize with them means that you cannot see all people who have different moral values than yours as enemies to be demonized. These are our progressive values. These are Star King UU Church's values. We must remember, however, that all is not rosy among us. Too often, religious and secular liberals have been accused of optimism, of being unrealistic about the messiness, the conflict, and the loss that each of us witnesses in life. But let us lift each other up as a community to spur us on to an enlarging love in the world. Amen and blessed be.